Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
John is with me on the line today because John was part of a delegation who attempted to join thousands of others on a global march to Gaza last week. And he was among thousands who were stopped by the Egyptian authorities while doing so. The group were travelling through the country to try and reach Rafah as part of the Gaza peace march. John is with us on the line. How did you end up as part of this delegation, John?
So the global march to Gaza was an international effort. There was delegations from over 50 countries and people were coming together to take part in a march of solidarity with the Palestinian people. Of course, Egypt shares a border with Gaza, and the intention was to go to Egypt and march towards the Rafah crossing and open up a humanitarian corridor. I personally got involved because we've been advocating for Palestine and taking part in protests and raising awareness and donating and doing everything we can. And, you know, right now there's a siege on Gaza. They're not letting any humanitarian aid in, and it's piling up outside of Gaza while people in there starve and succumb to disease, in addition to being detained and shot and everything else. So we felt that, you know, we needed to do whatever we can, even if the chance was slim that we were going to succeed.
And while there was a demonstration that travelled from here in Ireland, you are Irish, John, but you didn't leave from Ireland, is that right?
No, that's right. I left from Spain. I was actually on holidays with my family at the time, and I had come across the initiative only a few days in advance, and it was too late at that point to register with the Irish delegation. I managed to get through with a different delegation, and I did meet members of the Irish delegation over there at the march.
So tell us what happened when you arrived.
Just before I arrived, reports were already coming through of people who were taking part in the march, that they were being stopped at the airport and detained and then deported. So going through the airport, it was advised, you know, not to display any Palestinian flags or scarves or anything that might identify you with the march. The intention was still we were going to work with the Egyptian authorities, that because we were there simply to take part in, you know, peaceful march of solidarity. So arrived into Cairo very late that evening, and I guess the next morning we were supposed to set out at 8 a.m. on buses to Al Arish, which is a town, and it was going to be the starting point of our, let's say, 3-day march to the crossing. As soon as I woke up, the plan had changed. As soon as I went out onto the street, there were police everywhere. Looked like, you know, the whole thing was going to be shut down and activists were going to be detained. A few hours later, we got word that we were going to meet up outside of Cairo and proceed to Rafah from there. I travelled with one other participant on the march who I met that morning, and we made it through the first checkpoint. A number of people were stopped at that checkpoint, but we made it through to where the vast majority of people were, which was being stopped at the second checkpoint. There was a heavy military presence there. A police officer came up to our car, looked in the window, identified us in the back seat and asked for our passports. That's the last we saw of them for some period of time. We were told to, the taxi driver was told to pull in, and we were told to stop, that we weren't going to go any further. There was a sort of big crowd of other activists, other participants in the march, so we joined them. Word came through eventually that we weren't going to be able to proceed any further with the march. We decided that we weren't going to turn around. We were still hoping that the Egyptian authorities and the organisers of the march could work something out. Mm. At that point, as we arrived sort of in there at around 1 p.m. and, you know, it was very hot. We were there probably till probably 11 p.m. that night. But before that, we were sort of cordoned off at a section of the crossing. All the activists were together, and, you know, it was decided that we decided collectively as a group that we were going to stay there, stage a sit-down protest, in the hope that we would be granted safe passage through to Rafah.
And was it a peaceful protest, John?
It was, 100%. It was.
And how would you describe the police presence around you at that time?
Yeah, I mean, it was intimidating. They formed a cordon all around us. We were surrounded. It was, you know, a line of riot police. We saw buses pulling in, more police vehicles and things like that. I guess we knew that, you know, if we stayed there and if we did a sit-down protest, that we were going to, the likelihood was that we were going to be loaded onto these buses and potentially deported. But
So were you guys detained after that?
Eventually the authorities, they sent in what can only be described as thugs with weapons while they had us cordoned off. So these people came in plain clothes, they had whips, sticks, etc., and they started beating us participants.
Were you hit or affected by this?
I was towards the front, and you know, I was recording some of the activity that was taking place, and I was identified for having a phone out, and I was hit with a whip. I quickly put away my phone, but I escaped relatively unharmed. But you know, other people that I was traveling with, that was in the group, you know, they had some signs of physical injury.
So were all of you protesters at this point? When did you get your passports back, John, and what happened next?
The passports were confiscated and we got them back, you know, kind of 2-3 hours later. At that point, as we decided to stay there and hope that it could be resolved and we would be granted safe passage through. But the authorities decided that wasn't going to happen. And once they broke up the march, we were loaded onto buses, and I just happened to be with the Irish delegation at that point, and we all stuck together, driven back towards Cairo. They essentially let us out on the edge of a 6-lane highway near the airport, and the advice was not to go back to Cairo. So it was then sort of a personal decision what you wanted to do.
And what did you do?
Given just the situation on the ground and the opportunity for further action, it was limited. So weighing things up, I decided to get a flight the next morning.
A flight back to where?
I flew back to Spain.
You flew back to Spain, okay. So the number of, I suppose, protesters that were detained, you weren't as such part of that were then released by way of the Irish embassy and diplomatic efforts there?
No, that's correct.
Okay. You're talking to us from Spain this lunchtime, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. You've decided for the purposes of this interview to go by the name John, which I think is an indication of concerns people have, even in taking part or participating in protests like this.
There has been repercussions for Palestinian activists, you know, across the world. The US, for example, where I currently reside, a few hundred international students who have spoken out in favour of Palestine and the Palestinian cause, they've been deported. People are under increased scrutiny. Their social media is under scrutiny, and there's a crackdown on Palestinian activists around the world.
The Irish Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Harris has been called on here to make comment and to make a public statement on the detention of the People Before Profit TD Paul Murphy, who was one of those detained and passports confiscated while travelling through Egypt on his way to Gaza also. Do you agree that the Foreign Affairs Minister should make a public statement?
I agree that the Foreign Minister should make a public statement, just in terms of the fact that, you know, that this was a peaceful march in solidarity with the Palestinian people. We weren't there to do anything illegal. We were there to coordinate with the Egyptian authorities. It should be denounced in terms of the way activists were treated, trying to march to stop a genocide, to stop a siege. The Foreign Minister should stand behind the citizens who are trying to do that.
Your own family, you mentioned, John, that you'd left them in Spain to join this protest this protest in Gaza. How did your own family feel about you taking part?
You know, they were quite worried, which is natural, but they were proud of me for having made that decision to go. you know, I'd bring it back to the story's not really about me, or it, you know, it's not really about the march in general. It's about Palestine and the situation there, and the people in Gaza, and just the conditions that they live through each day. That's what we want to keep the focus on.
Would you do it again?
Yeah, 100%. I have no regrets. I have no regrets going to the global march to Gaza. We have to do whatever we can. And, you know, we know there's risks involved, but they're nowhere compared to the risk that the Palestinians face every day on behalf of the Israeli regime.
Well, John, look, thank you very much for joining us today. I know you're back in Spain at the moment, but look, we really appreciate you taking the call and joining us, and take care of yourself.
Thank you very much. All the best.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insuranceBroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.